Hi there.
Don't do that, please, because I did a laugh.
My name is Ben, and this is my wife, Josie. We've been coming to church for 3 years, and we come to the church with my two kids, my mother-in-law, my cousins are coming here as well, also. So yeah, the family.
Legacy means to me what I can sort of leave to my kids, what sort of examples I can leave, experiences to my kids and the next generation, which I think is extremely important.
Legacy to me is pretty much, I've always lived my life since I was 13, I've lived my life really thinking if someone had to write a biography about me, and what would that biography say? And to me, that would be the legacy that I'm leaving behind, not so much the material things, but really what's the story of myself that's gonna be left behind. And the added portion, now that I've had kids, is what are my kids gonna feel about that story? Are they gonna be proud or be ashamed of it? And to me, that's been the crucial part of leaving behind a good legacy or a good biography.
So the way I see legacy in my life, and through my parents, is all the morals and experiences that they've passed on to me. My dad taught me what was the importance of like being a hard worker, being dedicated to your work, doing well. My mom always taught me from a little girl, you know, church and the Bible and having that relationship with the Lord, which was like super important. And that has been with me since I was a child. And now that I'm older and married and I have two boys of my own, we're doing the same thing with them, teaching them obviously your relationship with the Lord and teaching them good morals, good work ethics, so that they can be successful as well.
The difficulties that I've been facing with legacy or building a legacy, I don't have the greatest past when it comes to my family. For example, I've stayed as far away as I can from drinking just because I have a family member that died of alcohol poisoning. I stayed away from drugs because I had a family member that OD'd. I have all my uncles were coming from a long line of drunks. So I was trying to really guide my life to not become everything else. So a part of the being able to observe them helped me, but at the same time, it's always something that's in the back of my mind that I always worry about any kind of addiction that could come, because obviously those are addictive natures. So just making sure that I don't relive those addictive natures. So that's a form of stress that I always kind of live. And it's something that I also want to make sure that my kids don't ever see and don't have to deal with in their lives at the same time. But I'm also aware that if it's coming through my lineage, it's possible that it could go down to them. So having those open communication, whether it's going to be a fun conversation or not a fun conversation, it's something that it's has to be addressed as much as I like it or not. So I think those are the difficulties, but also learning from those mistakes has also been a blessing.
We love you, City Church.
Let's move people closer to Jesus together.
Good morning, everyone. How many of you had parents like Josie's parents that you had to work hard? Okay, people, come on. I got no hard workers in the room? Any hard workers out there? The rest of you need to join this club. This is a good club. All right, we are in part two of our series, our legacy series. We do this series every year just to remind ourselves that we are attached to the great history of the church. We can, like all the other gospel preaching churches in Mississauga, in the GTA, in Ontario, or across the nation, we can trace our lineage all the way back to the book of Acts, the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit poured out on the church, so the day of the birth of the church, and thank God. And think about all of the wonderful history, the faithful men and women over the centuries and millennia who gave and sacrificed and served so that we today in 2024 could carry on that beautiful tradition and then also pass that tradition on and just to realize how important legacy is. Now, you know, sometimes when we talk a series about this, you might people think, I don't want to think about legacy. Listen, everybody's creating a legacy. And so it's better to be intentional, purposeful with the legacy that you're creating, and then just sort of a let's just see what happens legacy, that God has spoken to us about this principle, that God, we see generations represented in the scripture, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We'll read about another family again this morning, but we want that to be true of us. As individuals, as families, that we want the legacy of faith to continue in our lives, and then also our church, that we would love the city church to continue, amen? And so what we want to do, not to make a name for ourselves, that we would want to remind ourselves and live the way that God would want us to live so that our faith can be passed down from generation to generation. Really, the word legacy just means something transmitted or received by an ancestor or a predecessor. So the big question in this series, again, is what are we leaving behind? We know that the church has its foundations on Jesus and the teaching of the apostles, and then we are a part of all of that lineage. And so what we're doing is we're teaching ourselves to respond in faith, not just to be reactive individuals, because life is going to happen in different ways, and certain things are going to go on that are beyond our control. But instead of just being reactors, what we should do or should be wanting to do is teaching ourselves to respond in faith, because this is a lineage that we can pass down. Listen, it's a dime a dozen just to react, right? Individuals that are just reacting about every different things, sort of uninformed sometimes, but to respond with faith in God to every aspect of life is something that we can actually pass down from generation to generation. So us as a church, we want to be training ourselves to respond, to live a life of faith. And this is something, again, a value, a core value in the scripture. We also want to be a loving family of God, that we care about each other. We want to be a hope-filled church, that we have an expectation about the future, that we know life is going to be difficult sometimes, but because we have this relationship with God, we can have this joyful expectation about the future. And then also, we want to be the type of church family that we rejoice, that are rejoicing those who are rejoicing, that a baby is being born, or there's a promotion, or a new home being purchased, or whatever those celebration moments of life in. But then also, within our family, there's going to be families grieving the loss of a loved one, or a difficult situation, or facing sickness and disease. And we can be that type of family that can hold both of those things at the same time. We can be rejoicing, and then we can be weeping together, as the scripture would tell us. We want to be servant-minded. We're going to be talking about that today, that we would have the heart of a servant. We want to be steady and consistent. We want to be faithful. We don't want to be the type of people that are giving up and throwing in the towel all of the time, that we are putting our trust in God regardless of the circumstances of the world, regardless of who's bombing who out there in the world, that we are going to continue to put our trust in God. Can I get amen? And then also, one of the things that we want to emphasize during this series, we want to think about that's very important, we want to emphasize generosity. It's one of the reasons that we're doing our food drive right now during our legacy series, that we want to be a blessing in our city. This is something that we do with some of our groups that will go out and serve in different places and partner with other organizations that are serving the city. And Eden Food for Change is one of those long-time partners that we believe that we should be feeding people in our city. And so we know that Eden Food for Change is set up for that. So we give to them financially every month. And then from time to time, we do a grocery drive like what we're doing right now. So those bags are available out in the lobby for you to grab with the immediate needs list, and so you can bring that back sometime in the next little while. And then also in conjunction with Legacy Series, that we receive a legacy offering. And so we've been doing this every year with targeting certain needs here in different things that we want to do in the church. Last year, our goal with our legacy offering was $80,000, and so we were able to renovate this room. Did everybody see the room last week? If you weren't here last week, at the end of the service, we'll have that door open so you'll be able to see in the room. You can't go in quite yet. Our tech team has a bunch of stuff laid out. We're preparing that room for the future. But you'll be able to see in. You'll be able to see the results of your giving. And then also, we mentioned that our plan was to renovate just one room. But because our tenants left, we were actually able to expand the space and go a little bit further. And we actually renovated two rooms for the price of one, which was fantastic. So both of those rooms, we have a room on the other side of this room that is serving right now as our team room. And so thank you for your generosity for that. But this year, our goal is $50,000 for the legacy offering, and it's going to go to three different places. The first one is the heating and air conditioning unit that actually serves our two new rooms needed to be replaced. So that's going to cost us $20,000. And then also $20,000 is going to go towards our youth and young adults conference that we're hosting this fall. So we're trying to keep the ticket price as low as possible and make it accessible to as many people as possible. So to put on a conference is a lot of expenses as it relates to hotel and travel and different things like that. So we wanted to keep the prices down for that. And then also $10,000 is going to go to addressing some of our flooring needs in the city kids area. And again, this offering is for people that call the City Church home. If you're visiting with us today, you don't have to feel obligated to give into this. But for those of us that call City home, we should be excited about the opportunity to be generous and to be sacrificial. Because think about the history of the church. You know, we're here today in this wonderful, comfortable church. But this church was almost started 40 years ago. And for this church to have what we have today, there was a bunch of pioneers. Not like pioneers. But like people who pioneered a brand new church and sacrificed and gave. And because they did that, we can be here today. But we shouldn't lose that. We shouldn't lose the spirit of that, hey, we get to be generous and sacrificial. So we have offering envelopes out there in the lobby for you to grab and be prayerful about what you could give towards this offering, and then also you can give online. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right, so let's give big in our legacy offering. So let's read about this family that I mentioned earlier in the service. Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's commenting on his family history as it relates to faith and his own family. It says this in verse 3, 2 Timothy 1. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors. So Paul had this tremendous heritage of faith. Thank God for the heritage of faith that I have. Obviously, my parents serve God. Both my sets of grandparents were followers of Jesus. What a wonderful heritage of faith that I have. Thank God for it. But you might be first generation follower of Jesus. Thank God that you get to create a lineage for your children and your grandchildren, a spirit and attitude of faith. Verse 4 says this, as I remember you in tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you. So we see three generations of faith: Lois, Eunice, and Timothy. And this is how God sees faith. It would be something that we would be passing down to our children. Again, not forcing them, but living a life of faith, teaching them about Jesus, teaching them about the scripture, that they would then put their faith in God just as you have done. For this reason, I am reminded for you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God gave us not a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of self-control. So we need more Loises and Eunices and Timothys. We need more families that are living out their faith, that there would be a continuance of faith. Because don't we see the need in the world today for the church to be the church? For the church to continue, to be strong and exhibit, you know, all of the things that this couple talked about in their family, that God has given us his ways in the word of God, so that we would live out those ways, the ways that God created for us to live, that we would put our faith in him, that we would put our trust in him for his power to be showing up in our lives. And this is the thing that we want to continue. So last week we talked about, as we live out this life of faith, we're going to have faith in God, and then we're also going to be courageous. So today we're going to talk about a heart of service. And this is something so important. And again, this is something that can continue. And our society has been so influenced by Christian principles that we actually have charities in our nation. Have you heard of charities? Church is a charity. There's other charities. Now, where does the idea of charity come from? Does anybody know? It comes from the scripture. It actually comes from the Bible. I love listening to secular humanists, atheists talk about, you know, if we didn't have Christianity, we would have got here. We would have got to this same place. And I'm thinking, no, we wouldn't have. It would have been a completely different world if we didn't have the influence of Jesus and the Word of God. And the reason that we have charities in our nation is because the Word of God. That we have a service-minded part, an aspect of our society because of the Word of God. And who better to exhibit a heart of service other than followers of Jesus? This is something that we see over and over again in the scripture. Now, this is something we're going to emphasize a little bit here talking about church today. But this idea of service is something that should show up in our homes. Can I get an amen? Husbands serving wives, wives serving husbands, parents serving kids, kids serving parents. Let me solve all of your marriage problems right now. You ready, married couples? Are you ready for some good advice for your marriage? Husbands, serve your wives. Part two. Wait, I'm not done. Part two, people. Wives, serve your husbands. And if yes, now we can clap. Because what we can do is we can just be consumed with their idiosyncrasies and their problems. And they have a lot of problems. Your spouse has a lot of problems. But you know what? So do you. And if we're just consumed with their problems, we're consumed with their mistakes, we won't serve them. But if we decide to serve our spouse, it'll be heaven on earth in our homes. There you go. You don't need a marriage counseling. If we do this on the job, if we serve, everybody's job in some shape, form, or fashion is serving your customers. And if you have a heart to serve your customers, your company will go well. It will prosper. It will be blessed. Why? Because you're serving with a heart. In our communities, this is something that we should exhibit, and this is something that we obviously believe in the church. One of our core values of our church is serving. You can see all of our core values listed on our website, but here it reads like this. Serving is our calling. Jesus is our greatest example, so we believe that service is our highest call. We use our gifting, our time, and our efforts to serve one another. We believe that anyone can be great because anyone can serve. And we didn't just make up that idea. We're going to read the verses that inspired those thoughts. But this is what we believe as a church, that we want to serve and we should serve one another. This is part of the calling and the gifting of the church. This is something that should go on in churches, should go on in this church and any church here in our city, in our region, and our nation. So, you know, one of the things about our church is that we put an emphasis on serving because the scripture teaches this. But I want to say thank you to our city team. Now, if you do like our church, one of the things that you like about our church, if you don't like our church, I apologize. I'll help you find another one. If you don't like this one, come and talk to me. But if you do like our church, one of the things that you like about our church is we have such a great team of people serving every week. Amen. We got people serving kids. Yeah. We got people serving in kids. We got people serving with adults. We got people serving in here. We got people serving in production. We got people serving during the week. We got people serving as team leaders, city group leaders. So all of these areas that people are serving, thank God for all of them and for what they're doing. And so I actually want to, as I'm thanking the team, the scripture that comes to mind anytime I get to talk to our team, Hebrews 6:10 says this, for God is not unjust to overlook the work and the love that you have shown for his name and serving the saints as you still do. So this team that comes early every Sunday and stays late and is here during the week serving in all of the different capacities, we thank God for them, don't we? And so today is a little bit of a thank you for our team. And then part two is going to inspire the rest of you to be a part of the city team. I'm not obligating you. I'm not going to say, oh, here's our needs. Please won't you serve. Please won't you serve. I can be like, hey, we need to be inspired by the Word of God and thank God for the people that are serving and they make church great. I want to be part of that. I want to be part of this team that is doing great things here. And so we want to be inspired to serve. And again, we're emphasizing church, but this goes for every area of life, serving in our homes, serving on the job, serving in our communities. We want to be inspired by the example of Jesus. And it's something that starts on the inside of us, not just, okay, I'll do it. Anyone have any teenagers? You tell them to clean their room. The whole heart thing is missing. Like, fine. We're talking about a heart today, right? An attitude, a state of mind. Philippians 2, verse 18. We can get this from Jesus. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy. So this is Paul writing to the church, the Philippian church, us. Complete my joy, being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. So we need to have unity around this idea. Well, what is it? Verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Now, ambition is not a bad thing, being an ambitious person, but having selfish ambition, in other words, that it's all about you and you moving forward and you getting all of the attention and you getting all of the rewards, that's a problem. And about conceit, that it's all about me. So ambition in and of itself is not a bad thing if you have the right heart, but selfish ambition is a problem. But let's continue reading. But in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. And this is an attitude for all of us to carry, whether we're on the city team or not. When we are part of the family of God, what are we doing? What are we doing when we come to church? Well, this should be our attitude, that I'm counting somebody else more significant than me, that I actually could do something for somebody else. And this is what I always say, this will take your church experience up a notch, not just being on the city team, but when you come to church on a Sunday morning, think, oh, there's somebody there that I can bless today. There's somebody there that I can smile at, that I can encourage, somebody that I can help. Why? Because I'm counting someone else more valuable than me. See, we can't turn church into Walmart, right? We can't turn church into just a consumeristic experience that, oh, I want this and I want this and I want this and I want it now. Everybody needs to serve me and I need to go guest services to get what I want because I have a complaint. That's not church. Church is all of us together being engaged, being contributors, not consumers, to think, you know what? I'm actually going to count somebody else more important than me today. I'm going to come to church today to be a blessing, not to just get blessed. Now, you can come and get blessed. Hopefully, you will. If you engaged in the worship service this morning, man, you got blessed today. The Spirit of God was here. We can be encouraged by the songs that we sang. The Word of God is being preached today, so we can be encouraged and helped. But then also, what am I doing? What is the church supposed to be doing, counting others more important than themselves? Verse 4, let's continue. Each of you look not only on his own interests, but also on the interests of others. This is us. This is the church. Not just what I want, but I'm thinking about the interests of others. Have this mind among yourself, verse 5, which is yours in Christ. Now, we're done our identity series, but here is a whole other thing for us. This mind to serve others and to count others more valuable than yourselves, it is ours in Christ. A servant mindset, a heart of a servant. Who though was in the form of God, did not account equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. God in the flesh showed up in Christ. What could he have done? He could have said, hey, everybody get me a throne. I want everybody to come by with palm branches and wave them on me and bring grapes to place into my mouth because here I am, I'm God. No, this wasn't the attitude. God showed up in human form and showed us how to be human, that we would take on the form of a servant, not that I just get to be in charge and tell other people what to do, but that I would take on the form of a servant. And his example should inform our actions. Can I get an amen? We see this here, a story in Matthew chapter 20, an interchange that Jesus had with one of the disciples' mothers, that they had a very specific request. Let's read about it here. Matthew 20, verse 20, it says, then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. So there was obviously a family conversation before this moment. And so these two boys who were Jesus' disciples, hey, mom, would you come to Jesus and ask him something for us? Could you imagine this conversation? It's like, boys, you're one of the apostles. Just go talk to him. No, it's going to be better from you, mom, than us. So they came, and she comes, and she kneels before him with her sons. And he said to her, what do you want? And she said to him, say that these two sons of mine are to sit at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom. So what are they looking for? Hey, you know, Jesus is going to die. He's going to be resurrected. And so what do we need? Could you just ask that we have these positions of power in the kingdom of God? Please, mom, will you do it for us? You're like, guys, don't ask your mom to talk to Jesus for you. We want these places of power. We want to sit on these thrones in your kingdom. And this is what they were asking for. Jesus said, you do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink? And they said to him, we are able. He said to them, you will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those whom it has been prepared by my Father. In other words, God will decide those things. Now listen, verse 24, when the 10 heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. Now they were either indignant for one or two reasons, that they didn't already think of it. They should have asked for these places already, or that they were asking for the wrong things. So here we have a whole sort of disputing moment between all of the disciples because these two guys are grasping for power in the kingdom of God. But here Jesus uses this as a lesson. But Jesus called to them and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. In other words, here is how authority, here's how power is exercised out in the world, the Gentiles. And he said, not so among you. So for us as followers of Jesus, this should not be our goal. This shouldn't be just our selfish ambition. It's not going to be so among us. But whoever would be great among you, and that's us, must be your servant. So that's why we said in our core values, anybody can be great because anybody can serve. It's not seeking after a title or a place of position, a place of authority. What should be the thing that we're after, or what should be the thing that should be cultivated in our heart? Well, we should be servants, servant-minded, servant-hearted. How can I serve today? What can I do to help? Listen, for whoever would be first among you must be your slave. And even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus served all of humanity by going to the cross and taking on the sin of the world, that this was his attitude, this was his purpose. God showing man how to be men. What is the purpose for us as human beings? Where our heart, our attitude should be to serve. It's not so among you, not grasping for a place of power, not grasping after a title. But how should we be living our lives? Well, we should be living our lives as the example of Christ, who came, who could have demanded that all of us serve him, but instead laid his life down to serve all. This is why Jesus came. He came not to be served, but to serve. Jesus said, I am here to serve. Proverbially, him saying this, I'm here to serve all. And again, this will find success in our lives, in our homes, on the job, at church. I'm here to serve. Like it says on our team shirts, I'm here to help. And this should be all of our attitudes because we're following after Christ. You know, at church, one of the things as a pastor, and this is not a woe is me, I'm just telling you, I get a lot of free advice from people. Hey, Pastor Brown, I have an idea. And I just want to let you know that, you know, when I have one of the team members come to me, is like, hey, Pastor Brown, I have an idea. You know, I listen to it and I consider it, and sometimes I'll take it to the team and we'll think about maybe implementing it. But if you come to me with an idea and you're not on the city team, It goes in file 13. And in my heart, I'm like, do you know why? Because the person who's not serving is not engaged. They just want the thing that they want when they want it. And if you do the thing that I want, Pastor Brent, maybe I'll serve. Listen, I'm not holding anybody's serving hostage. We should be inspired by Jesus and his example for us. Hey, we are here to serve one another. Amen? I know that bothered somebody, but it's all right. You'll be okay. You'll be okay. It's fine. Pastor, you hurt my feelings. You're fine. I'll pray for you after church, all right? First Peter chapter 4, verse 9 says this, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each of you has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Everybody say, serve one another. So this is our thing. This is our motif. This is the thing that we can leave as a legacy, that we, as the family of God, we've been given gifts and talents by God. What are we supposed to do? Serve each other. Care about each other. Be there for each other. And again, this is the purpose of the people following Jesus. This is a legacy that we can leave. It takes on a whole different attitude than just, hey, I'm going to church to get what I want. No, I'm going to serve because I've been gifted by God as good stewards of God's very grace. So the thing that you have, the grace that God has given you, what is God calling you? God is calling you to manage it well, to use it well, to serve one another. Whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God, whoever serves as the one who serves by the strength that God supplies. And this is what all of our teams should do, whether you're new to the team or going to come on the team or present team. What are we going to do? We're going to serve in the strength that God supplies. I'm not just doing this in my own strength. That my prayer, my expectation is as I serve with the kids or the students or adults, that I'm doing it with the strength that God gives. Thank God that God gives us grace to serve in order that everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So as we serve with the strength of God, what happens? God is glorified. The name of Jesus is lifted up. And this is our legacy. If we think about all of the nameless, faceless people throughout the history of the church that we don't even know who they are. We have a few people who we know as part of the church. But there's so many people that are faithful men and women who have served in the strength of God so that you and I could stand here today and lift up the name of Jesus, not exalt their name, even though they were serving with the grace of God. But they did it so God would be glorified. And this is our heart. This is the heart of service, that the name of Jesus would be lifted up. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We'll finish real quickly with the story of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. And this was right at the Last Supper, the preamble to the Last Supper. Very famous story that Jesus got up from the table and he grabbed a towel and he grabbed a water basin. And he started to wash the disciples' feet. And then when he got to Peter, you know, Peter is famous for like speaking and then overspeaking and then speaking too much and saying the wrong thing. But it's great that we have Peter because he's like us. And, you know, he said, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus answered, like, what I'm doing now, you're not going to understand. And then Peter said to Jesus, you shall never wash my feet. And then Jesus basically answered, you're going to have no share with me unless you let me wash your feet. And then Peter's like, well, Jesus, give me a full bath then. And Jesus is like, no, Peter, relax. you're not understanding what's happening right now. And so one of the things that might be blind culturally to us that is missing, that in every home, you know, people were traveling on roads, not paved roads, and people were wearing sandals. And so when they showed up in somebody else's house, their feet were dirty. And there was always a servant at the door with a water basin and a towel to clean people's feet. And it was thought of that this servant was the lowest servant in the home, but it was simultaneously the servant that served everybody in the home. And so Jesus is giving an example to them. We'll read it, continue reading the story in verse 12 of John 13. And when he had washed their feet, He put on his outer garments and resumed his place. And he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. And isn't that what Jesus is to us? Isn't he our Lord? And don't we follow after his teachings? If then you, your Lord, our Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also do just as I have done to you. Truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. You know, a couple of important things to note. Jesus is not literally telling us that we have to wash each other's feet. You all have showers. What he's talking about, again, the lowest person in the house, that we then would serve one another. That we would think of ways, how can I serve my brother and sister at church today? How can I serve my brother and sister as part of a city group? What can I do in the family of God to serve other people? And that what Jesus is also saying, because he is our teacher and he is our Lord, if we decide not to have the servant heart, we're saying we're greater than Jesus. But we aren't. And Jesus wants us to be inspired. He wants us to know. He wanted his disciples to know that we would have this heart to serve each other, to care about each other, that to place other people above ourselves. And this is the type of legacy that God wants us to leave behind as the church, that we would serve the community, we would serve each other, that we would serve children, that we would serve students. See, Jesus was the servant of all because he served all of mankind because of his sacrifice. Let's just pray today. God, we thank you. We are inspired by your word. That we would cultivate the heart of a servant, that you are our greatest example, that you took on the form of a servant, that you came to serve and not to be served. And so, Lord, we adopt this attitude for our lives, that everywhere we go, we think about people as better than us, that we can serve them and love them and care about them. God, because this is a legacy that we want to leave behind. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Before we go this morning, you know, we just mentioned there how Jesus served all mankind. By his sacrifice, he made a way for all of us to have a relationship with God. So if you're in here today and you have never said yes to Jesus, I'm going to pray a prayer here in a second. This prayer is just a starting point for you of your relationship with God. The gospel, the good news is all about Jesus as we read. He came, lived a sinless life, died on the cross. God raised him from the dead. And because Jesus did all of that, he made a way for us to walk into his righteousness, walk into a relationship with God. And all you have to do is say yes. So if that's you today, I invite you to pray along with me. Or maybe you're in the second category where you kind of feel distant from God today. You know, God is not mad at you. God is inviting you close to himself again. I invite you to pray along with me as well. So church, let's bow our head and close our eyes. And let's pray this prayer out loud, praying with somebody who might be praying for the first time or somebody who might be rededicating their life to Christ. God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he lived a sinless life. He died on the cross, and you raised him from the dead so I could know you. So today I say yes to that relationship. I say yes to your righteousness. God, I call you my Father. Jesus, I call you my Lord. God, I purpose to follow after your ways. And I turn from my own. I thank you for salvation today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's congratulate those that did that today. Hey, if that is you this morning, you either made that decision to say yes to Jesus for the first time or you rededicated your life to Christ, we would love to know about that decision. There's a Connect card in the seat pocket in front of you. We ask you to grab that card, check off the appropriate box. We actually have some resources that we would love to put into your hand free of charge that will help you on your discipleship journey. But we are excited that you made that choice today. Also, just a reminder, if you were so inspired by this message today that you thought, you know what, I just want to be on the city team, you can grab that same Connect card, check off the appropriate box, and our team will respond to you to be able to get you on the team. I know some of you are already said yes to serving and you are still in process. Make sure that you are taking your next step, checking your email box. Our team has already emailed you so that you can get involved on team. And then also you can grab a bag on the way out so that we can serve our community with some food. One more thing, on a personal note that I just wanted to make mention of today before you are dismissed. My wife's mom passed away last night. And she'd been, you know, real health struggle for the last 6 or 7 months. And so I would just covet your prayers for Nicole and her brother and her husband. They just obviously been going through a real difficult time. Now, I know a lot of you didn't get to meet June, which was her name, and some of you did. And but you just need to know that the reason Nicole is the way she is because her mom was so sweet. And she was a real faithful woman, very tiny woman, but real heart for God. And so as we are in Legacy Series, thank God for the legacy of my mother-in-law, for her faith that she instilled into Nicole and her faithfulness and tenacity. You know, Nicole was kind of a rebellious teenager back in the day. But her mom, tiny in stature, but strong in heart. So we celebrate her life. And again, thank you that you would continue to pray for her and Nicole's family for the next little while. Amen. Appreciate that. One more thing before we go. If you came to church this morning hoping to have somebody to pray with you or for you, some of our prayer team will be up here at the front of the stage immediately after service is dismissed, and they will be happy to pray with you about any circumstance. Let's all stand up together today. Thank you for coming to church this morning. Have a great rest of your day. You're dismissed.